Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back here to Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with a Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Happy to welcome in Buffalo Bills sideline reporter for WGR 550 in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio. Sal, how's it going, man? What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys? Good to talk with you again. I think we do this once every 4 years, right? So that's good to talk with you. And we're going to give everybody in New Orleans not a big break from the heat, but nice weather. It's 80 degrees here this on Sunday.
We'll take the no snowstorms up there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Listen, hey, I mean, some people say they want to see some snow when they come up here. So I guess it's whatever you want. But you know what? It is a beautiful time of year here in Western New York.
Now, Sal, I noticed a long time ago, always looking like in the history, is the Bills Mafia, I guess the old Bills Mafia is aware of this. Maybe not the young fans. But the Saints have had their number in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know how it's hard to win on the road? Now, it's a small sample size. They've only played five times. But the Saints have a 4-1 record in road contests versus Buffalo. And the reason why I bring this up, I remember that Bills fans were leaving in the early third quarter. Now, this was 8 years ago. The largest margin of victory for the Saints, they won 47-10. I don't know if you can recall that game, but the Saints were running all over them. Mark Ingram was getting off, but not that it's going to matter this year because you have to look at the Saints are 16.5-point underdog. But the Saints have played well in Buffalo.
They have. I do remember that very vividly. I've been a sideline reporter for 12 years. That was Sean McDermott's first year. I was on the sidelines for that game. And the reason why that game is very important for the Buffalo Bills standpoint, that was the year before Josh Allen was drafted and Tyrod Taylor was the starter. And then the next week is when the Bills decided to start Nathan Peterman. And then, sorry guys, I'm hearing a radio station in my ear right there. There you go. So the next week was when the Bills decided to start Nathan Peterman out against the Chargers. And of course he threw five interceptions and the Bills go back to Tyrod Taylor and they break the 17-year playoff drought. Now that game, 298 yards. I was looking at it today. Crazy. The Saints ran all over the Bills, but I go back to 2001, the opener, Bobby, if you remember that one, 24-6, the Saints come to town. They beat the Bills. Rob Johnson throws three picks. I think 1983 was the only time the Bills beat the Saints
at
here.
At Rich Stadium, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and still, by the way, still the same stadium, different name, but yeah. This is a special year here because I don't know if you guys know.
The last year.
This is
year,
the final
right?
year inside this Highmark Stadium here this year, and every game is very, very special because of that, because of the rich history here. For anybody coming up from New Orleans for the game, for media or fans, you're going to see the brand-new stadium going in across the street. It's beautiful, and it's opening next year. But, yes, of course, the Saints do have a good record here, but, of course, a lot of things are changed, and the Bills have Josh Allen now, and they're obviously a Super Bowl contender.
Now, Sal, I don't know if you've ever witnessed this. I can't recall that as dominating as the Bills are, number one overall offense, number one rushing offense. I'm a big fan of James Cook. 163 yards a game, and then you got the passing offense ranked six. But look, just can you run the football, stop the run? I don't know if I've ever seen this on a team this good, that being the Bills and one of the Super Bowl favorites. Number one rushing the football, but dead last stopping the run. 156 yards. Explain that. You would think maybe, I don't know, if they had a championship team, they'd at least be middle of the pack stopping the run. What's up with that?
I think it's very explainable. They played the Baltimore Ravens week one. I mean, that's, it's a small sample size. They gave up 238 yards to the Ravens. Since then, they've been very good about stopping the run, both against the Jets and the Dolphins. But look, I mean, it's still way more than you want, right, Bobby? I mean, that's not that's not what you want in a game. But, I mean, that's really what happened. They played the Ravens, and because they played the Ravens and they put up an awkward number, that's going to impact a three-game sample size. The Bills also, by the way, though, are not built, quote-unquote, to stop the run. They're built to stop the pass in a passing offense league. The Bills are a little bit lighter. They're more athletic. They're built to make sure the teams don't throw all over them and that you're going to have to run the ball on them. They kind of invite you to run the ball and say, look, we're going to make you grind out your possessions. And when you do, you're going to make a mistake. And that's kind of borne out here. I don't know if you guys know, but the Bills actually are currently on an NFL record 24 straight games without losing the turnover battle. Because not only do they take care of the ball, but they force you to make mistakes because of long drives, because they are built so you don't just throw the ball over the top of them. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a really bad number, and the Bills want to improve that, no doubt. But the reason really is mostly because they played the Baltimore Ravens week one.
Yeah, now, who knows the Ravens? You face them again in the playoffs. You could be in a shootout-type game. But when you got Josh Allen, you always have a chance. And always would brag on the Bills. And I look at the history. When you go to four straight Super Bowls, that's hard to do. And I don't know, I guess unless you're in the AFC East, and I guess the AFC rival now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who doesn't like the Bills? I mean, you almost like, man, that's hard to do to go to four straight Super Bowls. So I think, you know, blue collar, like you look at the Bills Mafia and all that, we look at that very similar to Saints fans. We're like, oh, well, they're just Yankees, but they just like us and almost would want the Bills to get over that hump. And I don't know, ultimate Super Bowl would be like Bills and Lions. But then, boy, you'd almost want the Bills to win, and the Lions never getting there. But are the fan base right now, are they saying, well, this is our chance, this is our opportunity right now?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because, well, first of all, I agree with everything you said about, like, just so the passionate fan base. I know New Orleans fans are also very passionate. And for many years, it was the Saints were the kind of team that, you know, didn't win. And yet they get, you know, Drew Brees and things change. And, you know, you win your championship and it's amazing. It's a great experience. It's a great feeling. And we haven't had that here in Buffalo. And it's not just the Bills, right? It's our Buffalo Sabres hockey team, which we're very passionate about hockey up here. They've been to two Stanley Cup finals. They've been to conference finals. They've never won. And we're just really, we're starved. We're really the only major North American city with multiple professional sports teams that has never won a championship, other than the lacrosse team, the Bandits. And by the way, we love lacrosse here. But, I mean, it's the same thing with Cleveland, right? And then Cleveland wins with the Cavs. But, you know, they still haven't won with the Browns. And, you know, obviously the Guardians gone a long time. So I think these blue-collar cities that are passionate about their teams, there's a lot of similarities between them. But as far as the fans and what they feel, look, it's really interesting here. I think this is our year. That's been said the last few years. There actually is a lot of the fan base who wonders if Sean McDermott's the guy to, you know, win the Super Bowl because they've gone so far and they can't win it so far, haven't won it, I should say, with him. I'm not one of those. I believe this is a really good coach, really good organization. They're buttoned up from top to bottom. They have a great quarterback. They have what pretty much like 29, 30 other teams in the NFL dream of, which is an owner, a GM, and a head coach who are good and aligned. And I do think, though, this year, look at the schedule. Look where the Bills are. They're in an AFC East that should be they should be able to take care of. And honestly, guys, their schedule the rest of the way really sets up for something they have not done yet. That's get the one seed. And if they get the one seed, have a week off and two games played here at Highmark Stadium to get to the Super Bowl, I think that's the key to getting them there.
Boy, Sal, what a way to close out on the old stadium, right? Boy, to have the number one seed and you have to go to Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl. No, that's giving me goosebumps just thinking about that. And, well, when you're trying to bring in dominant or winning players – What's it take so far? Now, small sample size. Joey Bosa. Remember like Von Miller, you know, and all that, then moved on from an aging Von Miller and all that. So where are they at with Joey Bosa and the expectations there?
He's off to a great start. He leads the NFL in forced fumbles already. After two games, he had three of them. He still has three after last week, but off to a great start. The big key with Joey is just staying healthy, right? I mean, he knows that, though. He's talked with us. And but I don't know if people realize, Joey Bosa is still, I think, fairly young for, you know, in perspective. He just turned 30 this offseason. Like, he's not like 34, 35. Like, when Von got here, he was, I think, 34 years old. But, you know, Joey's still younger in that respect. But, you know, people say, just put him in bubble wrap to the rest of the year. Well, they need him to play a little bit, but they're not going to – they did use him last week a lot more than they want to, I think, but they had 10 days off, obviously, because they played Thursday night. And really, it's about keeping him healthy. And if Joey Bosa can stay healthy, he truly, truly is a difference maker type of player to get them there. You know, so that's a guy that they really focused on, because one of the things that's really held the Bills back of not getting to a Super Bowl is getting sacks on Patrick Mahomes, getting sacks on Joe Burrow when they played in the playoffs, getting the quarterback to the ground. That's really been the thing that's held the defense back. So they invested in Von Miller a few years ago. And by the way, people forget, Von Miller was off to a great start until he tore his ACL that year. And then obviously he was a different player. But so far, so good with Joey Bosa. The expectation is that he's going to be a difference maker, but the hope is to keep him healthy.
Now, Sal, looking at Josh Allen, who he leans upon, definitely you'd say, we all know about the running back, James Cook, but spreads the ball around where it's like, unless you truly know the NFL or, I don't know, follow the Bills or, I mean, people say, well, I don't know who their receivers are.
They got two big physical ones I'm worried about.
Yeah, Shakir, Elijah Moore, you look at Joshua Palmer.
But I'm Kaden Coleman.
But it's not what you would say, like Jamar Chase or whatever. Oh, I know who that is. Or you know, these parts, LSU, Justin Jefferson, you know, Malik Nabers. You know, John, that's all that we're familiar with. But then I look at the two tight end sets and relying upon the tight end. What do you think? Is it like spread the wealth around that you see four or five different guys and not maybe only one or two?
This is by design. It's intentionally done, and they actually have a mantra for it, believe it or not, guys. And Joe Brady wears a cap, and Josh Allen wears a cap, and what it says is everybody eats. They have done this on purpose. And look, I'll take you back to Stephon Diggs, right, which is he was an elite receiver here in Buffalo. But I think what happened was, and I'm not like, Stephon Diggs was great for the Buffalo Bills, no doubt. This is not a knock on Stephon Diggs, but when you have an elite receiver, I think there's a lot of pressure on the quarterback to look his way. I think there's a lot of pressure to make sure that he's getting fed, he's getting satisfied. And as good as he is, sometimes that can distract you from just throwing to the open man, right? You're a quarterback.
Bob. Right, yeah, exactly.
Right? And I think the Bills intentionally, that's why they traded him. He was getting a little older, but it was, hey, we need to free up our quarterback who's elite just to throw to the open man. And then they go with this mantra, everybody eats. That's what it's called. And the Bills do this by design. They have a lot of pass catchers. They don't have an elite guy, but they got guys who can do everything. They have all different kinds. It's like a basketball team with 1 through 5. You get your point guard, your shooting guard, a small forward, a shooting forward, a center, or a power forward, a center. They kind of have everything. They have some size. They have some speed. And then what they do is they've really leaned into this tight end thing, as you've said. They draft Dalton Kincaid first round a couple of years ago. They really want to play a lot of 12. The Bills actually play a lot of 13 personnel now. And the reason is they have the best blocking tight end from this draft, who's been amazing for them so far, Jackson Hawes, who's actually caught a couple big passes. But this guy, he can block. And I will tell you, you guys know Aaron Cromer very well from down there, obviously. He was the interim head coach. Aaron Cromer actually said to us, and this is probably high praise for a guy like Aaron Cromer, that Jackson Hawes is the best blocking tight end already he's ever coached. I mean, you think about that as a rookie.
Now, Sal, whoa, that speaks volumes. Not everybody, I mean, it's like, oh, no, the Bills top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams. I know, you know, fans maybe were bragging on, or just football people bragging on the Packers, maybe the complete team. You know, the youngest team now for two straight seasons, you know, offense, defense, special teams. But when you look at the Bills, where they're at, what would you say their weakness is? Secondary? Who would, because you're not like unbelievable at every position. I mean, you don't have enough money. Yeah.
But it's still what you said earlier. It's run defense because of what I said. They're not really built to stop the run. I mean, they want to stop the run, but really they're built to force you to have to run the ball, and they're going to give up some big runs. They're going to give up some plays in the run game sometimes. And then what you just said about receiver, can that's great. Everybody eats, but who's your money guy on a big play? How can you get down the field when you need a play near the end of the game? I think that's what people would say their weakness might be, right? I mean, they're strong. They do have some concerns a little bit in the secondary because they have a rookie in Max Hairston who they drafted first in the first round who's been injured and he hasn't played yet and he's on IR and he's coming back soon, hopefully. They have Tre'Davious White, you guys know well from down there at LSU, who's a little bit older. They brought him back. And, you know, he's not the same Tre'Davious White as a few years ago when he was an All-Pro. He's starting. Christian Benford is a really, really nice player. But people wonder about the corners and how they can hold up against some elite receivers and speed. I think that can happen. But, you know, Sean McDermott's a very good defensive coach. They play a lot of zone defense. They usually try to keep everything in front of them. They don't get beat by big plays. I'd say if there's a weakness on defense, it would be the rush defense. But, again, it's something that I think that they are kind of willing to sacrifice, so to speak, a little bit in order to make you kind of work your way down the field. And if there's something on offense, it's probably having that one guy that you really need that money down. And who is that? Is that going to be Keon Coleman this year? We'll see in his second year. How can you – they haven't had a great deep ball passing game. It's not because Josh Allen can't throw it. We know that. It's because of what I said earlier. Teams are playing a lot of too high shell, and Josh just says, I'm just dumping it down to the open guy.
Now, Sal, I don't know. I said this earlier before you came on. I don't know. I think teams are taking this approach. The best defense against the Bills might be if we can have long, sustained drives and keep Josh Allen on the bench. I was talking with Drew Brees. It's like, okay, how can you maybe limit a couple of possessions that Josh Allen doesn't have an opportunity? Because that might be the best defense. If he's not on the field, I guess same thing with Lamar, trying to keep Lamar on the sidelines with the Ravens. Do you kind of agree with that, or you understand where I'm coming from?
Of course, yeah, and I think that everybody wants to do that, right? I mean, it's just hard because you're going to have to sustain drives, and if you get in third, if you're going to run the ball to do that, you might be in third and long, and then you're putting yourself in a tough situation, as you know. But, you know, let's see what remember what happened in week one. You guys probably watched the Sunday night game. I mean, the Ravens did that. They kept the ball on the ground. They really owned the time of possession. They were really beating the Bills down the field. They scored 40 points, and then when Josh Allen, 15 points down the fourth quarter, gets the ball and bang, 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 and scores points. So, look, I mean, through three games, they've scored 30 points or more each game. It's hard to do. Yeah, I think that's a great philosophy. The problem with that philosophy is it also really, really decreases your margin for error if you're an offense. If you're going to do that, and then you make a mistake, you're also limiting your own possessions in a way to score because the Bills could outscore you then.
And plus, they're winning the turnover margin. What was that? I'm have to remember that, Sal. 24 straight games? Is that what you said?
I believe it's 24 straight of not losing the turnover battle. And I think it might be even 24, 25 of not actually committing their own turnover, which is kind of crazy. I think something like that. And maybe that's wrong. But I know it's not losing the turnover battle, I think, is a record now, 24 straight games.
Whoa. Sal, awesome info. Definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Sal.
That was Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter for WGR 550 in Buffalo, another Odyssey station joining us there. We're going to take a break, be back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.